Welcome to Database Fundamentals. I'm here today with Brian Alderman, and we're going to talk you through a variety of really interesting things about what you need to know about getting started with databases.
Thanks, folks, for joining us. I am, as Pete pointed out, Brian Alderman. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. Really enjoy that area. We are going to be spending some time, as he's talked about as well, talking about the database fundamentals, not too deep on what we're going to be discussing, but just kind of give an idea of what databases are all about. I'm a speaker for a lot of conferences, specifically with SharePoint at this particular time, and some SQL at conferences as well. So we're going to be spending some time. You're going to see some when we get in the image, some references to SharePoint. So, but it's this topic is all about SQL Server and the understanding of that. Now, Pete, what about you? Where are you from?
So I'm here. I work for Microsoft, and I work for the learning experiences team here. I'm responsible for planning and building a lot of the technical training content that guys like you, trainers like you, deliver to Microsoft customers. So I have a hand in some of the technical content here. I've been doing it for a very long time with content, and I'm responsible for the SQL Server portfolio in addition to some of the web developer content that we have.
Awesome.
So this session is a 100-level session, and database fundamentals is a sort of core technology concept that this session loosely maps to our Microsoft Technology Associate exam for database fundamentals, which is exam 98364. So if you're looking to get started in databases, there's no prerequisite level required for this.
Don't you have to learn, be able to spell SQL?
You have to be able to, I don't even think you have to spell SQL. I think you're going to teach us how to spell SQL a little bit later
in
the session.
That's the primary goal, right, is to understand how to spell
SQL. I think
SQL.
The only real expectation we have for this audience is that they want to learn what a database is.
Very good.
And we'll go from there.
All right. What are we going to talk about today?
So the course is broken down into five modules. The first one that we're going to do right now is just introducing core concepts. We're going to help you understand what a database is, why you might want to actually consider getting a database. We're going to go from there into some of the basic concepts that make up a database. We're going to talk about relational concepts, including normalization, referential integrity, and some other topics there. We're going to go from there into how you actually create and use them, what kinds of things are in a database. We're going to talk a little bit about SQL Server and how that works. That's going to be the platform that we use when we get into creating our database. Module 4 is going to be really super fun. We're going to talk about DML, which is data manipulation language. We're going to actually show you how you can get data in and out of the database, which is probably the most exciting stuff. I know you've got like all kinds of really fireworks-enabled demos for that one.
Great demos for that.
And then Module 5, we're going to talk a little bit about SQL Server specifics. We're going to talk about basic administration concepts that maybe you'll do as an administrator or maybe you'll want to know about so that you can have a good conversation with your database administrator.
All right, so let's dig in with the very first module where we're going to talk about the core concepts or with databases. And the ironic thing is a lot of people hear the word database and they don't understand how much it's involved in their life. For instance, if you go shopping, if you go to the store this afternoon and buy some items off a grocery store, way back in the old days, you would probably go into a grocery store and there'd be aisles blocked off because they're taking an inventory of what's on the shelves, what's in the stock room, so they would know what to order. Nowadays, everything, because when we pick up an item off the shelf and as soon as that we scan it, that's being registered in a database. So now they can set up and keep track of all of the items that are stored within a store in a database. And anytime I purchase anything, that item count, let's say we have 50 of them, now went down to 49. We can set up an alert in the database. Hey, if this gets below 25, we need to reorder. So everything is automated. If you go online and buy airline tickets, that's all information stored in the database. When you get ready to pick your seats, that's all in the database. So every day, even though we don't hear the term database, we are talking and working with databases. So that's why this is important for you to understand that, you know, the concepts of a database and what's going on behind the scenes, because it does affect you as a non-IT person, but it may be something that you want to get into as an IT person because there is a lot of need for database administrators or DBAs. So, wrong way. We'll go back this way here. So we'll talk about relational databases, and we're going to talk about some database components and terms, kind of level the playing field, so everyone has an idea when we're referring to something, what it is that we're referring to. And then we're going to talk about a few different types of commands that we'll use when we're talking with and working with SQL Server. So let's begin with an introduction to a database, just to give you a better understanding of what the databases are all about. A database, you might just see it as a DB, is an organized collection of data, and it's typically stored in electronic format. It's really not much different than what we've done in the past, but we had a different way to do it. It allows us to manage content, organize content, or categorize it, and more importantly, allows us to retrieve that content fairly quickly. Traditional databases are stored in rows or records, and then we have columns or attributes or properties. You'll hear those terms synonymously as it's referring to the type or the amount of content or the information that's stored in a database. Now, you may be thinking, it's like, well, Brian, that sounds a lot like one of these, good old Excel spreadsheet. And it is very similar to an Excel spreadsheet in the fact that we have rows and we have columns, and we've used these for several things. So, Pete, can you remember the first time you used an Excel spreadsheet and you thought it was the coolest thing because you could have rows of information and then columns of that information that was relevant to those rows?
You know, it's funny. I actually still use one of these today, which I'm a little bit embarrassed about. But I use a spreadsheet that's got all kinds of columns to manage my music collection, my CDs.
Okay.
Right? And I've got a row for every CD in my library, and then I have all of these columns, and I've added so many columns for the person who introduced me to it, and the genre of the music, and the date that I acquired it, sort of like the High Fidelity movie, like if you want to sort the thing by the date that you acquired it,
right,
so you can look at your library in chronological order, I do that, right?
I don't want to interrupt, but just to let you know, I have the same exact thing for both my CDs and my DVDs. So, I mean, I still have 300 some odd CDs, and they're all alphabetized.
And
so I'm not the only weird person. This is really good to know.
And it's funny, too. I'm actually going to probably use this example throughout the course because it's the perfect thing that could make a really handy small database. And even though I've been working with databases for 20-something years, I've never actually converted it to a database.
Mm-hmm. But we could take that content and convert it into a database and put it in a table. This is an example, just a brief example of a database table. And that's, as I mentioned, it's a collection of rows and columns that allows us to organize content. We're going to focus on relational databases. This brings it to an entirely different level. Pretty much, if I took this table here, I may as well put this into a spreadsheet, because at this point we haven't introduced the idea of creating multiple tables to represent this information, which makes it and we tie relationships in those. We're going to talk about all this into those these different tables, so we can actually use this content for querying information and inserting information, updating information, and keeping this information maintained. So we're going to take an Excel spreadsheet and we're going to jazz it up by bringing it into tables or multiple tables in a database here. So relational databases, it's a collection of tables. Now, so everything's stored with 80 columns across in a single row. We're going to have maybe fewer columns, but we're going to have multiple tables. Now, the relational piece comes into the sense that we have to have a way for us to be able to have those tables talk to each other. So we're going to introduce the concept of primary keys and referential integrity and foreign keys, and we'll figure out how all that is, how all that works for us. But the idea now is taking that single row or single table has multiple columns, 80 columns we'll say, and busting that out to multiple tables to create an environment that allows us to query that information and only store the information that we need to store and not have redundant information stored in that. So that's the advantage of moving to a relational database from, we'll say, an Excel spreadsheet. This is an example of a relational structure we're going to be referencing throughout here. And what this allows us to do is you'll see here that we have a table here called products, or in the production schema, and we've got a product subcategory ID. Now, this is referring to another table, and it's a product subcategory ID, which in that table, there's a product category ID, which is referring to yet another table. So this is what's called relational databases, and we're going to introduce these terms and discuss these in more detail, but this uses what are called primary keys and foreign keys. And so this here is a way for us to tie these tables together so our tables can communicate, and it's going to allow us to perform some of the commands that we're going to want to perform, and we'll see us performing a little bit later on.
So that actually looks a lot like what we were just talking about, where my spreadsheet full of CDs,
yeah,
in this example, would be the products.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And the genres in my spreadsheet would sort of map to what you've got here for category.
Yeah, perfect.
Or category, like, because I have jazz and I have like bebop as a subcategory of jazz and things like that. Is that kind of what you're talking about
disco
here?
Is disco in there?
Disco is not a subcategory of jazz.
Okay. But. Subcategory of jazz. Jazz, disco, jazz. Yeah, I can't even picture that one happening. But yeah, it's exactly a great point. Yeah, so we could take our example of our CDs that we have built into a spreadsheet, and we could create a database and use a similar approach to get this a relational database with these tables. So great example here. Okay, let's make sure everyone understands. And we're gonna, as we go through these sessions, we want to make sure everyone understands some of the terms that we're going to be using as we're coming down through this. First off, you may have heard of a DBMS, a database management system. So we're going to introduce a couple products, like Microsoft SQL Server is what we're going to be focusing on and using as our demonstrations. But a DBMS is a database management system that it's several programs that are used that allows the data for us to store the data and retrieve that data. So a DBMS is also used for DBAs, database administrators, and this allows them to be able to go ahead and manage the databases, to create the databases, to add the databases, to back up the databases. Any of those components that we would need, it allows us to do that using the DBMS. So it's a collection of applications that allow us to not only look at the content, manage the content within the tables, but also the overall administrative tasks, those also are managed using this DBMS. Now, we can throw another letter in the front of that with a little bit of alphabet soup here. We have an RDBMS, a relational database management system. An RDBMS takes advantage of the database management system, and we make sure that we're taking advantage of the relational aspect when we're managing that content. So as I mentioned, Microsoft SQL Server is an example of an RDBMS. Microsoft Access, if you worked with that, maybe you went from Excel spreadsheet and you graduated to Access, and then the next tier would be going to Microsoft SQL Server. Even using MySQL, if you're out there using MySQL, you have those four relational databases. And those are ways for us to manage our content instead of the flat format that we're used to using with our Excel spreadsheets. Now, in order for us to be able to install or use this content, we have to have what's called a database server, a server that's dedicated to hosting our content. Now, it could be a physical server, it could be a virtual server, but it's used to manage that content, but from creating the databases to the content that's stored in those databases. This database server can have multiple instances. What does that mean? I can install SQL Server several times and manage them separately. We have the same tools that we use for managing all those instances, but I can install SQL Server several times. One may be hosting my SharePoint content, another instance of maybe hosting my line of business applications. And I can install that multiple times on a single server, and that is what the idea of an instance is. It's just multiple installations that reside on a single server. Every time I do that installation, there's a new copy or version of the SQL Server.exe that's used for managing that content. So often what we'll do is create multiple database servers, and the idea of this is to provide high availability and improve performance. If we have multiple servers, we are able to do that.
So let me just back up for 1 second.
Sure.
Because I have my spreadsheet full of CDs.
Right.
And now you've gone all the way to the extreme end of things. You were practically at big data, which we're not going to talk about today.
Mm-mm.
But there's this whole range of things that I can do to get my first database that start with something as simple as Access, which is a part of Microsoft Office, where I can install it on my local machine. I can even export my spreadsheet import my spreadsheet into a database and start making the relational sort of connections that you've alluded to, these key things,
mm-hmm. key
all
things.
The way up to a database server that's dedicated for a professional environment, an enterprise application that runs an instance of SQL Server or multiple instances of SQL Server. So I just wanted to kind of point out that there's this range that you're talking about from getting from non-relational data that's in a spreadsheet,
right,
all the way to massive multi-table relational systems on multiple servers and clusters and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
And for the scope of this conversation, we're going to talk really straightforward about the fundamentals of what's in a database. But Brian's made a really good point that we're at the very beginning of a long journey to using databases that go all the way up to professional database administration, database developers, business intelligence, and now big data, and even databases in the cloud. So there's the spectrum that we're talking about across all of these sort of terms. And we're going to, the rest of the session is going to be kind of on a smaller scale.
Yes. But
we'll allude to these sort of different opportunities that you have across different business solutions and in my case, my CD library management system.
I'm expecting, knowing you as much as I know you now, that's going to probably be done by the end of the weekend. I'll expect to see
I'll borrow your database design, definitely.
All right, so yeah, we are going to keep it on a small scale as far as what we're going to discuss, but as we pointed out, this could be to the enterprise level, but we are not going to go to that level in here. What we are going to introduce is, because remember, we could use Access, we could use MySQL, we could use a SQL Server, Microsoft SQL Server. So what we're going to do is we're going to work with a utility inside of this that's provided with SQL Server called the SQL Server Management Studio. So the good thing is you don't need to know a bunch of commands. There's a lot that we can do inside of SQL Server, inside specifically of the SQL Server Management Studio. And this is just a screenshot of it. What we're going to do is we're going to go in and demo this and kind of just explore what we can do in this graphical user interface or GUI to manage databases, manage the implementation of the databases, and even down to the table level of the content in the databases. So let's jump out and explore. We're going to go into a demo here, and let's go into our Contoso database. If you've gone to any Microsoft class, you've heard the term Contoso. We are going to go into, I'm going to go to Start and All Programs, and in here you're going to see that I've got Microsoft SQL Server 2012. You'll see I've got SharePoint installed. I'm going to go ahead and expand on that. You'll see we have several tools we can use in here. We have configuration tools. If I expand on that, that's where we can use for some configuration options. The one we're most concerned with, the one we're going to spend the rest of today in, is the SQL Server Management Studio. So we're going to open this up, and when it comes up, it asks us to connect to the server. So we'll go ahead and perform that connection. And it brings us in to the left-hand side, we have what's called the Object Explorer. And the right-hand side, we have the Object Explorer details. So whatever we click on the left-hand side, it gives us more detail about it on the right-hand side. Let's start, first off, I talked about instances. This is an instance, a SQL Server that's running here at the top level. I don't have multiple instances. If I had, I could use the same tool for managing multiple installations of SQL Server. We're going to focus on just one instance here. Now in there, the next big thing that we work with are databases. So if we expand databases, you're going to see I've got several different databases here already, including system databases that are automatically installed for every instance of SQL Server. So if we expand on that, you're going to see we have these four system databases. We're not going to get into the detail of those, but every instance of SQL Server has these four databases that are used to manage the infrastructure and the logical architecture associated with that instance of SQL Server. Now we also now have user databases. The rest of these besides the system databases, with the exception of database snapshots, all of these here are user databases, or databases that we've created. We're going to be focusing on utilizing, for the most part in this session, or in these sessions for this class, the AdventureWorks 2012 database. If you've worked with a database before, see previous versions of this by any chance, you've probably heard the term AdventureWorks. So there's a flavor of it that you can use. Now, if you're seeing our demos, you're like, hey, I'd really like to explore with this, you can actually go up and download AdventureWorks 2012 and install it in your AdventureWorks 2012. If you're running SQL Server 2008, you can install it for that as well. So if you're looking at this, like, this would be pretty cool to be able to have this play environment, you can do so. Just explore, look for AdventureWorks and download the flavor for your particular version of SQL Server that you're running, and you can be able to use that information.
And I think it's also important to point out that what you just showed very briefly in the initial view of SQL Server Management Studio, it showed that there were some objects, and I know we're going to talk about that later. But every database system, even Microsoft Access, has something similar. You can open Microsoft Access. You can look at the databases that are there. In that case, you'd see one at a time, but you can see the things that are in that database. And there are sample databases for Microsoft Access, just like there's AdventureWorks for Microsoft SQL Server. So if you wanted to try this as you're following along, you could load up Microsoft Access. You can find, I don't remember what samples ship with Access
was
these days.
Northwind?
Is it still Northwind? Northwind is shipped forever. I'm not sure if it's still there or not. I haven't opened up Access in a little while.
So.
Yeah. But there are sample databases and there's open source databases, and you can see what sort of you can explore the relationships and products and categories and things like that are a pretty common thing that you'll find in all of these samples.
Yeah, that's a great point. So we're going to be working on SQL Server Management Studio as our GUI, our graphical user interface for SQL Server. But that's a great point, Pete. I mean, it's like, okay, well, I'm used to sort of a spreadsheet right now. Now, what's my next baby step? My next baby step would be maybe I try Access next. Get the idea of how that works, how the relationships work between the tables, and then go up to upgrade to the SQL Server environment. And there is a SQL Server Express flavor available too. So you may like, hey, I'm done with Access. I really want to go out and play with SQL Server. There's a SQL Server Express version that you can download. It's free. So you can download that and get most of the functionality that you'll see that we're working with, even though we're working with the enterprise version. For what we're going to do in this class here, that Express version will work for you. Okay, so over on the left-hand side, we've got this here. What we're going to be doing a lot of here as well is generating or creating queries. So up here, I can go in and execute queries in here. So I can do a simple query. This is the most basic query you can execute. And look at the IntelliSense. So it's it's helping me along with this. So if you're not quite sure, it's helping me along. So production dot and then products. Hopefully I did that right. We'll find out. Invalid object name. So I can hover over it. So it's all right. So I'm not sure. So we come over to the left-hand side. We go to our AdventureWorks. We go into our tables here. And you're going to see all the tables. Now, all of these tables, starting with human resources, all the way down here, are all used for this AdventureWorks table, or database, excuse me. So I was trying to use production.
I think you're in master.
And here's my products. And so it is an actual, I have an X on there. And so I'm gonna go ahead, and then I'm gonna hover over it again, and you're gonna see it's still saying invalid product name. Now there's two ways. What I haven't done is I haven't identified what database I wanna use. So if I look up over here, right now it's using the master database. When I connect, it automatically connects me to the master database. That's one of the system databases. I don't want to work with that one. So I can do this a couple ways. I can come in here and drop this down and find my AdventureWorks. Now when I hover over this, you're going to see, oh, now we got what the item that you're working with. Now if you like to make sure you know what you're doing, another way to do this is to preface this with the use statement. And so I could do this as well. Instead of having to drop this down, especially if I'm going to want to write as much of this up as possible, I could make that part of the command and add in this, the text, use AdventureWorks 2012. So we're telling it what database we want to look at. Now I want to perform this command here. So we're going to go ahead and highlight this. And this is kind of cool because if I have several statements in there, and I want to execute just one of those statements, I can do so by highlighting the text that I want to execute and then hit the execute button or hit the F5 key. So we'll hit execute up here and we get a bunch of data. So here's all my rows of content with the columns. And like I said, this is the most basic, the easiest syntax that you can write is select asterisk, which means give me all the columns from wherever I want to retrieve the content from. So we'll be spending some time in here. Again, I wanted to kind of show you that this is the Object Explorer, and we have the details are going to be showing up here. We're going to spend most of the time in the new query window executing queries that allow us to retrieve or insert or update content. But this is just a little bit of an introduction.
That's a sneak preview of Module 4.
Preview of Module 4. We're going to do a ton more in here. In fact, I'm probably going to resize this so you can see some of the commands here that we'll be working with. But you're going to see for this database here, AdventureWorks, we have tables. We're going to introduce these views, synonyms. The fact I said that right the first time is good. Programmability. Storage and security. So all of these are per database. We're going to talk a little bit later on in security, so we'll get that a little bit more information and detail with that. All right. Anything else we should show while we're in here just as an intro, you can think of, Pete?
You know, I had a question for you if you wanted to go back to that. You've said a couple of things that I think we should clarify.
Okay.
You used the word schema. Can you talk just briefly about what you meant by schema?
So really what happens is when you create a table or a view, it has to be associated with an owner of that. So they're using the word owner or schema is where it resides and who has access to that and how that is stored in that database. So the schema or the owner of that item is used. This is kind of this is a two-part name. So you actually provide the schema and the object name. You can actually go up to more, well, up to four parts. We won't get into again here yet. Actually, we won't get into in this specific class. So it just identifies where inside that database that content or that object exists.
So it sort of references kind of the definition of what that object is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, got it. Right. And then I think there's one other thing that we should talk about because we're not talking about it.
Okay.
In my example of the spreadsheet, we talked about that I have all of these rows and all of these columns, and it's getting kind of unwieldy to manage. And you've introduced this concept of a relational database that has tables that have used rows and columns that relate to records and properties. And that whole genre of sort of information, we kind of refer to that as data modeling.
Yeah.
Right? And we're actually not covering data modeling in this session, but it's a really important topic that you guys will want to go read more about that is sort of the technique for how you decide what to do with that giant spreadsheet of information and break it down into the individual parts. And we're going to reference that sort of thing along the way, but I just want to point out that how you actually do data modeling and how you do the design of a relational database is not specifically covered in this session.
Yeah, and you're right, there's entire courses on that, and that there's a lot to that piece. That database design is huge before you even roll out any data. So taking that very seriously and understanding what you're doing there will be really beneficial for you as you're looking at taking your ginormous spreadsheet and trying to get it into a relational database.
And we'll allude to some of those things as we go along, but I just wanted to call out that we're going to talk kind of about the mechanics of what a database is and how the pieces of it work, but the next thing you'll want to do when you actually create it is you'll need to understand that data and then do that sort of analysis and design of what the data model needs to be. So we'll see some of that along the way. I just wanted to point out that's an opportunity for further study.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, and it's a very, very important part of the process here. All right, so I don't think there's anything else in here. We'll be coming back. We'll be spending a lot of time inside of these SSMS, SQL Server Management Studio here. So let me go back here. Oh, that's why I didn't want to do this right there. And let's jump back into our slides here. Whoop. Where did I go here? Yeah, what's where? We were in PowerPoint, weren't we? Yeah, we're using that guy. Okay, so that's just a brief introduction to the SQL Server Management Studio. We're gonna just kind of wrap up this module with just a little bit of a review. Remember, a database is kind of taking your ginormous Excel spreadsheet and just creating multiple tables and setting up relationships, all what we're gonna talk about. But it's simply a different way to organize that content. It's not only different, it's gonna be better. You're gonna see that we can generate reports, we'll just say, or retrieve content. And slice and dice that content in ways that we could not do in an Excel spreadsheet. Microsoft SQL Server, Access, MySQL are all examples that we can use for that. We talked about the idea of a database management system or a DBMS. So you're going to hear that term, a DBMS or an RDBMS, which is a relational database management system. And really, it's just a plethora of applications that allow you to perform different tasks associated with that database. For, you know, we talked about, right now we looked at the database engine. I mean, there's reporting services out there. There's analysis services out there. Nothing that we're going to get into, but an RDBMS has several components that allow you to manage that content that's in your database. Your database server or servers, most likely you're going to have multiple servers, whether it be virtual or physical, are used for hosting the content, managing the databases, and making sure we've got high availability, we've got information that readily available. So that's managed using our DBMS on multiple servers, database servers most likely. And then where we're going to spend most of our time is in the SQL Server Management Studio. That's the interface that we're going to use inside a SQL Server for creating our databases and managing the content within the databases, as well as managing content or managing the logical infrastructure, the rollout, the deployment of SQL Server. So with that said, we're going to wrap up on this section here, and we are going to go ahead and take a brief break here, and then we're going to come back and continue in Module 2.